We're up to 1 Samuel chapter 26. Saul has been pursuing David for quite a while. Then he got called away to go fight the Philistines. As soon as that was over, he came back and pursued David again. This time, David caught him in a cave and spared his life. So Saul apparently repented and left. But then, as soon as he heard where David was again, he gathered 3,000 men and headed back after him again. So Saul continues to pursue David, but David continues to learn to let God fight his battles. You know, let God care for him. So, 1 Samuel chapter 26, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hills of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. You think, doesn't Saul have anything better to do? I mean, he's king of his country. You know, he's got to defend the country and build it up and whatever. And he spends his time pursuing one man who's no threat. No threat to the country, but personally, he sees him as a threat because God has anointed him. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him unto the wilderness. So Saul stopped on the hilltop over there. It's pretty obvious. 3,000 men saw him coming. David's hiding in the woods. And so he's like, okay, he's after me again. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. So he made sure. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. So David's no coward. Saul came up. So David has now crept up on the camp of Saul to make sure. And he's there, and he's got Abner, the captain of his host, there with him. And so Saul is basically in the valley, down between the hills. He's down in the valley, and he's asleep, but he's surrounded by all his 3,000 men, so he feels pretty safe. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab. Okay, so that's Joab, one of Joab's brothers, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I'll go down with thee. I mean, this was a volunteer mission. It was, you know, it's like, who wants to sneak in among 3,000 soldiers? You know, anybody interested in this job? But Abishai's like, sure, I'll go with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. So there he is. He's asleep. He's all curled up asleep. But he's got his spear stuck in the ground right there handy. So if he wakes, he can wake up and grab his spear. And but Abner, his captain, and all the people are right there around him. So he should be secure. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand to this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. So again they said, God's got him right in your hands. It'd be easy to kill him. He said, here, let me do it. Let me do it. I'll take a spear and I'll kill him, and believe me, it won't take two. I'm going to get him one time. I'll pin him to the ground. I won't have to hit him twice. Of course, you may have to run to that pretty quick. You make any noise. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? He's like, it would still be wrong. Even though he's our mortal enemy, he's trying to kill us. This is God's anointed. He's God's king. We would be wrong to commit regicide, to kill this king. David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, and his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. So that's not really meant as a prophecy, but it turns out to be prophetic in the sense that it comes true. David said, look, God can take care of himself. Okay. You remember Gideon? When Gideon, God had Gideon destroy the idols, and then all the people came up to his father and said, you know, we want to kill Gideon because he destroyed the idols. And the father was wise and said, look, if Baal's a god, let him defend himself. You know, why do you have to defend him? you know, if he's really a God, he should be able to defend himself. And he didn't. And it's like Islam. Islam is what they call an honor religion. In other words, it's the duty of all Muslims to defend the honor of Islam. It's like, what's wrong with Allah? Can't he take care of it himself? If he's really such a God, why do you have to defend his honor? That's the difference with Christianity, is we don't have to defend God's honor. Now, we should not besmirch his honor. We shouldn't live in such a way as to reflect in a bad way on him. But it's not our job to go wreak revenge every time someone blasphemes God. It's a good thing, because we'd be awfully busy. There's a lot of blaspheming going on. But God can handle that himself. Let him take care of it. And David says exactly that. He says, it's not my job to kill Saul. If God wants to kill Saul, his day to die could come anytime. Who knows? Life is uncertain. Or he might go into battle and get killed. God can see to it if he's ready for Saul to die. So in God's time and in God's way, he'll take care of it. I don't have to do it myself. Very good. Don't start taking responsibilities onto yourself that are not yours, especially God's responsibilities. And we want to do that so often, is we want to, well, this needs to be done. It ought to be, well, but is that your responsibility to do, or is it God's responsibility? Well, this is God's responsibility. I like to, well, I noticed it, I think, for the first time in the Beverly Hillbillies, is Granny was making up some Lye soap. And she's like, you know, cleanliness is right. She's washing clothes and this and that. You know, she's like, Jed is always for cleanliness. She said, many a time I've come down to my last strip of fat back. And I said, Jed, you mean to cook this up for us to eat or render it for soap? He said, render it for soap. He said, the good Lord will feed us poor folk, but it's our responsibility, but we have to wash ourselves. So I thought that was pretty good. Okay. I mean, God has promised to feed his people. That is his responsibility, but he does expect us to do the reasonable thing, you know, keep clean or whatever. So here he's saying, it's not my responsibility. God has promised that I'm going to be the king. And when God is ready, God will get Saul out of the way. That's his job. It could happen any time. He could just fall over dead any day, heart attack. He could get killed in battle. You know, anything could happen. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that has his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So they pluck the spear, take his water bottle, and off they go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Well, I can't imagine that Saul wouldn't have had a few centuries. So even the centuries have fallen asleep on duty. Okay? And that you could sneak in that close to the king and nobody would wake up? You know, surely there's somebody that would wake up. Well, this is of the Lord as well. The Lord has put them in a deep sleep so they don't even stir. David sneaks in, sneaks out, and they get away. Then David went over to the other side and stood at the top of the hill afar off, a great space between them. So he's afraid of Saul, because Saul has proven over and over he's determined to kill him. So he heads up on the hill on one side and waits for him to wake up. And David cried to the people, to Abner, son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? Okay. Abner's in charge of security. He's the captain of the host. It's his job. So he says, hey, Abner, let me show you something. And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? Aren't you a big, strong guy? You're in charge of this. You're brave and strong, right? Who is like thee in all Israel? Wherefore, then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. He said, I happen to know that somebody snuck in and intended to kill him. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die. Well, he is. He's neglected his responsibility. The penalty for a sentry to fall asleep on duty is death, because he's endangering the lives of everyone under his watch. And Abner, being in charge of the whole thing, it's up to him. You know, he might not have been the sentry, but he needed to make sure he had a sentry he could rely on, but they were all asleep. because you've not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cream of the water that is at his bolster. So it's like, recognize this? It's like he's proving that he's been there, and I can see Abner's just the fear, you know, hits you in the pit of the stomach. It's like, oops, I really blew it, because the king could have been killed. And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." So Abner didn't recognize his voice, but Saul did. He knew who it was. And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods." So basically, I'm exiled. I'm kicked out of the land. It's like, if God has really stirred you up against me because I've done something wrong, then let me make an offering. Let me sacrifice and make it right. But if it's people that are stirring you up, then, you know, put them away, because they've driven me out of the land. And that's basically what you've driven them out of Israel. You're saying you can't serve the God of Israel because you can't come to the tabernacle. You can't do sacrifices. Go off and serve Baal or one of the other pagan idols. "Now, therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains." It's like, you know, I'm no threat to you. "Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." So Saul repents with his mouth again. But David's catching on to, you know, it doesn't matter what he says at the moment. I mean, right now he's just relieved he didn't kill him, and so he'll say anything. But he never changes. He's always after David. "And David answered and said, Behold, the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it." So I don't want to steal your spear, so send a young, you know, send a boy over here to carry it back. "The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today." So he gives God the credit, because God's the one that allowed him to get that close. "But I will not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. And let him deliver me out of all tribulation." So he's putting his faith in God, not in Saul, which is a good thing, because you can't count on Saul. But he knows that God's the one who will deliver him. "Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things and shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place." In chapter 27. "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." In other words, I give up. Saul's never going to change. He's always going to be after me until he finally gets me. "There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me in any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." So in other words, he said, the only way I'm going to have Saul quit chasing me is to leave the country. And he's not willing to bring the army into the Philistines' land, because that would be considered an invasion. They would immediately ensue, and war would ensue. So David said, I'm going to give up, I'm going to leave. Probably shouldn't have. He's already been told once by the prophet to go back, spend his time in Judah. God is protecting him. But David is tired of the battle. Okay, so, as you say, out of the frying pan into the fire. Now he's going to be right among the Philistines. "And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath." So he's one of the kings of the Philistines, the city of Gath, Achish. "And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife." So Achish takes him in because he's like, he knows Saul's out, so he understands why David left the country. So he thinks, good, I can have a good warrior on my side to fight against Saul. "And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him." So he never repented for fear of God. He just said, well, he's left the country. There's nothing I can do about it. And he leaves him alone finally. "And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" So David's like, look, we'd like our own place. Just let us move out of the capital city and give us some small town or area we can live in ourselves. Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, whereof Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. So Israel kept it over the years because it was possessed and controlled by David. And that time David dwelt in the country of the Philistine was a full year and 4 months. So over a year he dwelled among the Philistines. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites. Okay, so they've got to do something to provide for themselves, for one thing. And so you can get that by war, raiding and looting. And David's a soldier. He still wants to fight against the enemies of Israel. And so they go and they fight against the Geshurites, the Gerizzites, the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. So in the southern portion, so he's fighting in the south against various enemies of Israel is what he's doing. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, the oxen, the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. So he killed them all so that they couldn't go back and tell, so Achish won't know what's going on because they're allies of his. But they're taking their stuff to provide for themselves as well. And Achish said, whither have thou made a road today? And David said, oh, against the south of Judah. It's like, oh, well, I'm hitting the southern portions of the land of Israel, and just like you would, against the south of the Jerahmeelites and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings unto Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. In other words, he'd get himself kicked out of the Philistines' country pretty quick if they found out, because he's really still their enemy, but they think he's an ally. And Achish believed David. Now, why he believed him, I'm not sure, but I think he wanted to, because David was a mighty warrior, and he's like, hey, great, if I've got David on my side, it'll make me stronger. Saying, he hath made the people of Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. It's like, oh, good, if he's attacking Israel, he can never go back, so he'll always be my ally. So David's living a double life, which is no fun, but he's living a double life down there, actually among the Philistines, and he couldn't stand living right among them, so at least he got his own town out of the way. And then he goes and attacks the enemies of Israel instead of attacking Israel, as he says. So David has fled from Saul. He's learned to not kill Saul, let God fight that, but he hasn't learned to trust God to provide him there, so he's kind of gone off his own way, which causes him some more difficulties. All right, let's pray, and then we'll take a 15-minute break. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the way you worked in the life of David, and that you've written it all down, conveyed it to us, that we might learn also that you provide, that you will fight our battles, and you will do it if we only stay faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.